Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God loved the world so that he gave. You can finish that sentence because you know what God gave. We learned that last week. That God gave his only begotten Son into death, not just gave him to the world to do whatever they wanted to him, but he gave him into death that we might live through him. In stanza 5, we hear these words. If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. That is the firmest ground of faith. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when all else is failing you, that those words that Christ Jesus has saved your soul from death is the firmest ground of faith that you can rest on? Because I was there last night. I was there at the bedside of a man who had suffered a massive heart attack, 100% blockage in the artery they call the widowmaker. And as he sat in the ER, waiting for the team to come there to perform the heart catheterization, the putting the stent in that artery, trying to save his life, I asked him if he had any fears. And he said to me, I don't. I don't have any fear. At least I don't know if I'm afraid of anything right now. And I said to him, are you prepared to die? And he said to me, Pastor, is it that bad? And I said to him, it's not for me to tell you how bad it is. It's for me to be here to prepare you to die, if that so be the will of the Lord. And he said, well, if it's the will of the Lord, what more can I do? I can't say anything against that. I said, so I'll ask you, do you have any fears of dying? He said, I don't know. And so I said, do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him? And he said, yes, I believe. I said, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he who believes and dies in him, though he die, yet shall he live? And he said, yes, I believe that. I said, then all your sins are gone. They're atoned for. Christ has taken them away. And I said, you're prepped. You're prepared. You're ready to go. And he said, that's it? It's that simple? I said, yeah, it's that simple. When I had first walked into that room, there was a lot of fear on his face because he didn't know what was going on, nor could he remember it after somebody told him it. And oftentimes, our life comes at us like that. We don't know how we've gotten into the situation that we find ourselves in, and we begin to then despair of the works of our hands. For the first thing that he said to me is, I think I've been a good person, lived a good life. But that's a pretty shaky ground to rest your life on. Because if it's found out on Judgment Day that that wasn't the case, which we all know it isn't, for all have transgressed the will of God and fallen short of his glory and are condemned under the law to suffer death, even eternal death, unless rescued by the blood and righteousness of Christ. So it was for me in that moment not to leave him in this rocky, shaky ground that has no support for him to go into that procedure, just as it is for each and every one of you, something you must steer away from. No matter how small it is, if you are sick, like obviously you can hear, I don't have a voice. In this moment, I can still look at Christ and say, he has died for my sins, and I will be delivered from this. I will be saved from this because I know how great the salvation is of my God, who has loved me enough to shed his blood for me so that I might live with him. Yes, even a small sickness, a little momentary rock to trip on in life, is enough for you to be shaken up. So where is your firmest ground of faith? Because believe me, a couple weeks before Holy Week, and the last thing I want is to not have a voice. It's enough to make you frustrated. And last night, seeing somebody to go from washing dishes to being on a hospital bed about to go under a serious procedure, you don't know what is going to come in your life. And so are you prepared with the firmest ground of faith? I hope so. And I hope so, even if it hasn't been that you've thought about it very much, what is my ground of faith, that tonight you reestablish it. You let God build back the foundation that was lost for whatever reason, because this is love. Not that we have loved God, not that you have lived a good life, not that you have even served your neighbor. This is love, that God has loved us in sending Jesus Christ to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is sacrifice. And Christ gave the greatest love that anyone could give. He sacrificed himself on the cross for you and for me, for all the world. And did not ask anything of those that he was crucified for. But he did say this, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my word and you will truly be my disciples. Because who can say that they actually love God apart from knowing and loving the Son and what he has done? The love that you and I are familiar with is this love that just says, you know, I love to do these things. I love this kind of food. I love this picture. I love this hobby. But that is not the love that God is speaking of. The love that God is speaking of is not doing whatever you want to do. The love that God speaks of is the love that flows from being grafted in to the vine who is Christ. Having the love of God in your heart does produce something. At least it should. If it isn't, you should start questioning whether or not you are still connected to the vine. Because if I handed you a broken off branch and I said, go hang this on your wall at home and pray for grapes to come out of it, you'll laugh at me. You'll say that's not going to happen. And I will agree with you. So let's not be foolish. If the branch is no longer connected to the vine, the life will look different. The one who is grafted into the vine draws from Christ everything that is needed. Draws from him the peace, the assurance, the confidence, the boldness to stand before the Father and to ask of him anything. The joy that we have, that rests within us, isn't joy that is produced by things that we like or love in this life. Jesus says that I want my joy to remain in you. What is the joy of Christ? But that you are his and he is yours. What is the joy of Christ but that he accomplished your salvation? From Christ you receive pure love. And being grafted into Christ, you produce these good fruits that are showed to the neighbor. You show the neighbor the love that God has given you. And by what you do and by what you say. They may ask you, why are you being so nice to me? No one is nice to me. Why are you taking me out to eat? Do you expect me to do something for you? No, that's how the world works. Christians, we give generously and charitably because we know that we have all things from God already. And we love to give. To give to our very core, just as Christ gave up his body and soul unto death upon the cross. There is no greater love than that. So this love that Jesus is talking about isn't a little bit here and there. The love that Jesus is talking about that he has put into you is this great love of God to save you from death. So ask yourself, what sort of fruit would come from that? What does the fruit of that love which has been brought to you, what does that actually look like in your own life? For all of us, it might be a little different. I'm not in each one of your situations. I have my own station in life. I have my own place where God has set me to live and to serve, to love my brother that God has given into my midst. And that's going to look different from the ones that you have. But the love that we are called to live with is this great and firm foundation of the faith that cannot be moved or shaken in any degree. For it has firmly been established not as something that is by chance or hopeful, but by purpose. God purposed his Son for this, for you. Look at what is written for us in Hosea the prophet. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. It goes on to teach us that when God loves us, he doesn't just leave us as these withered branches. He raises us back up. He makes us these green vines again that become ripe with fruit. And as we have been given more, he prunes us back so that we again blossom more and more. And isn't that how life is? Just when you think you have accomplished the most hardest of crosses that God could ever lay upon you, then comes one even greater. To the one who has been given much, much is also expected. The word that Jesus says here to keep his commandments is not just to do them, but it is to protect them, to guard them, to not allow one to go on backsliding as if it is of no consequence. For we know what is the fruit of that they will go off and become withered and like chaff in the wind be blown away. But we are like the children of God who constantly return back to the cross. For we know that we have not lived as though we should have, that we have stumbled and fallen and haven't, and even in sickness or in great midst of tragedies or sudden accidents, we have said, God, I just don't know anymore. But I thank God that there are people that have brought us back. Brought us back out of doubt and despair to the firm ground of faith. Not that we have loved God perfectly, but that God has perfectly loved us and established you and me upon this great and firm foundation of the faith, that Christ has suffered and died, and that he has saved your soul from death, so that we can face it all with a cheerful heart, knowing who God is and how he has revealed himself to us. The manifestation of his love is in the work of the Son. So you have something to live with. You have something to live with every day of your life. You live with Christ, and Christ lives with you. He abides with you. Jesus says that he and the Father will come and make their home with you. God has given his Holy Spirit to you, who testifies to all of these things, that this is truth, and that not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. So keep these words close to your heart, that God has loved you so immensely, so deep and so wide, that he has embraced you in every moment of your life and will not leave you or forsake you, that there is nothing in heaven and or on earth or under the earth, no angel, no demon, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.